Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to a brand new episode of the Courtside Mavs podcast. I'm your host, as always, Murphy Beckham. Joined by me is your co-host, as always, Adam Dworsky. What's going on today, AD?
Oh, nothing much. Glad to be back to it.
Yes, sir. Back to it for us. Not back to it for the Mavs yet. Still currently the All-Star break here for you. It's February 24th, 2022 right now, so no new Mavs games since the last time we've spoken to you guys, but that doesn't mean we're not going to bust out the content every day for you guys here at Courtside Mavs. So we've decided the best thing to do in this little basketball hiatus that we get every year around this time is we might as well build upon a podcast we did exactly 3 weeks ago today where me and AD drafted the all-time greatest Dallas Mavericks defenders post-2009, of course. And we drafted those guys into two teams. I selected my team. Adam selected his team. We went back and forth on the draft, and we built some pretty solid teams here. And so today, we're going to go at that from the opposite angle, and we're going to pick our greatest Mavs offensive teams of all time and then face those teams off against each other's defensive lineup for the Mavs. And so it's going to be a fun podcast for you guys. I realized that when I was compiling the list of players to choose from, that we had a lot more solid offensive players over the years than defensive players. You know, that's kind of goes without saying, knowing the Dallas Mavericks, but it was a crazy discrepancy between the two. I have a ton more names here than I even had for the defensive team, so there's going to be a lot of great options. And again, like we did for the first one, we're choosing from these guys' best seasons that they ever had during their NBA careers, not just the seasons they have with the Mavericks. So, like, there's guys like let's see. I mean, you know, some guys obviously did have their best years with the Mavericks. You know, Jason Terry was a great offensive player for the Mavs. You know, let's see. I mean, to be honest, there wasn't that many that have their best years with the Mavs offensively. But we did have a lot of great players over the years. So, you know, guys like Jameer Nelson, Jose Calderon, those guys had better careers outside their years in Dallas. So we can choose, you know, Jose's Raptor years or Jameer's one All-Star season with the Magic. So it just depends on whatever their best season was offensively. So, we have a lot of good basketball Mavs knowledge to get into here for you today, so I'm very excited. I know Adam's excited. First, I want to talk about the defensive teams that we chose last time, just so you know the listeners, you guys have a little bit of a baseline of why we're choosing, who we're choosing, because me and Adam's teams are very different. So I'll go ahead and talk about mine first. I'll go over the list here. My selections were my point guards, Jason Kidd, over there to guard the ones. My twos, Wesley Matthews, from his Portland days, of course. I got Deshaun Stevenson at the three. I got my man Tyson Chandler at the four, and then DeAndre Jordan there at the five, so a lot of size on my squad. And then a sixth man for some more versatility, I got Josh Richardson in there. So my size is, I got some towers in there, and then some nice, tough guards. And Adam's team is pretty much the exact opposite. Really no size and no guards, just a lot of versatile forwards. So he's got Finney Smith, Sean Marion, Jay Crowder, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist from his Charlotte Hornet years, JaVale McGee is a center, and then his sixth man is Maxi Kleber. So, Adam, that's a pretty solid defensive team right there, but yeah, quite different from mine, I'd say.
Yeah, I went with the versatility option there when drafting my team. I'm looking at some of these offensive players, and I'm kind of worried that a couple of certain guys are going to really give my team fit, so hopefully I can get to them first before you can here in this draft.
It'll be interesting to see, because we definitely have very differently built defensive teams, but that's not saying that one's better than the other. Yours is just a lot more of a guys of the same size, and we've seen that does work a lot in NBA defenses these days. So I think that, yeah, your team's going to be tough to score on unless I get one specific guy on my team that's a power forward that can pretty much, he's going to take anybody that you have on your entire roster to town, no doubt about it. Might put up 40 or 50 on him a night, so I don't know. I guess we haven't really decided who gets the first pick here. So how do you think we should go about that?
You know, as the official host of the podcast, I think it's only right that you do get the first pick.
I'm no official host. We're both official co-hosts. We're in this together, man. None of us has a greater part than the other. I could just ask Siri to flip a coin for us, I guess, live on the podcast.
If you think that's the best way to do it. Whatever you think. I'm okay with the second pick here.
All right, Adam, heads or tails? What are you taking?
Tails.
All right, tails never fails. That's a good pick. Here we go. Hey, Siri. Flip a coin. She said heads, and that's no kidding. She actually said heads. I don't know if you guys could hear that, but she did say it. It came across on my phone here, so I can post it here on Twitter afterwards if you guys don't believe me. But
yeah, we're gonna need some evidence for that, because I didn't hear a word from Siri.
I screenshotted it because anyway. I figured you'd say something like that. So I'll post it on Twitter. All right. You'll see the timestamp and everything. So that does mean that your man Murphy Beckham's got the first pick here. So a lot of good options on this list. A lot of good options. The greatest Mavs offensive players of all time, post 2009. Whew. Man, you know, I might want to go for a point guard or floor general, because if you need a good offensive team, you need someone to run the show. Oh my gosh, I didn't even put Luka Doncic on this list, even as compiling players. But he might be a pretty solid pick in this draft here. But also need a shooting guard. You know, someone who can knock down jumpers if they get an open look from the point guard. I'm going with Dirk. Dirk Nowitzki's my guy. No doubt about it. Yeah, I wanted to build up the hype a little bit. For this draft, though.
Enough with the nonsense about point guard, shooting guard.
You got to go with the big German if you're going offensive players. The greatest big man shooter of all time. So for this draft, I think I want to do it a little differently than the last one. I don't want to go just like a snake like we did last time, because there is only two of us. So I think we should just alternate picks back and forth, you know, one by one. Not where I pick one, you pick two, and then I pick two, and vice versa. So do you think that's all right with you if we just go one back and forth?
Fair enough.
All right, sweet. Well, that does mean it's your pick now. So I did kind of put you in a tough spot here. Anybody but Dirk. So that's needless to say, there's a lot of great offensive players left that have played for the Mavs. So, AD, who's your first pick in this Mavs all-time offensive draft?
Luka.
Yeah. Good pick.
There's some other guys that are good pieces, but if you're looking at the best offensive players for the last decade of the Dallas Mavericks, there's two guys that come to mind, and so I gotta pick the one that you didn't draft, so I'm going with Luka to run the show.
Two guys definitely jump out in terms of the Mavs' offensive dominance in terms of their history, but as we stated, you know, these guys could have played for the Mavs for a year, but had some great years outside of the Mavs, maybe earlier than a decade ago. And so that's where I'm going with my next pick. I'm going with a guy who had a few good years with the Mavericks, but his best years were easily a decade prior to that. And I'm going with Vince Carter for my next pick here. A fan favorite here when he was in Dallas, a potential sixth man of the year who didn't win the award, but had a great shot at it. I think I'm going 2001 Raptors Vince Carter. Put up 27.6 points per game, 5.5 rebounds, 4 assists, shot over 40% from downtown that season as well as a slasher type guy. And of course, he was an all-star. So Vince Carter definitely there is going to be my second pick. A lot of big names have played for this team over the years, but he might be the biggest outside of Dirk and Luka.
Yeah, I mean that's a good pick, but I mean I don't know if you noticed that I do have a lot of versatile wing defenders that are a great matchup for Vince. So
certainly.
Just making sure you had that in mind.
I have that in mind, but my thinking is Dirk Nowitzki is going to be running the show. We're going to get the ball to him in the high post every single time, and by this point in his career, he knows how to deal with double teams and anything of that nature. So when you guys send your second defender at him because you really think JaVale McGee is going to be able to stop him one-on-one, you know, when the second defender comes, that's when he swings to Vince, and Vince got an open look for three or a quick step and a drive, and then you know he's throwing down on someone. So with Dirk running the show, your team might be in a little bit of trouble defensively.
I was just making sure you're thinking ahead a little bit, which it sounds like you have. So props to you. That's a good pick. You got a good 1-2 punch going. For my number two pick, you know, this one's hard. I do need to get some sort of interior presence, as far as just I don't want to have all just floor spacers.
I got Tyson Chandler and DeAndre.
I'm gonna need some shooting to bring those guys out, and especially the open looks that Luka can generate for shooters. But I think I'm gonna go with the Suns version of Amari Stoudemire as my center, running the pick and roll. Him and Nash ran the pick and roll pretty effectively. I have no doubt in my mind him and Luka can do the same thing.
Taking Stack, man, that hurts. That was a sleeper pick I was going for sure. But you're going Suns Amari, not Knicks Amari, is that right?
Yeah, I'm in my mind, I'm envisioning him and Nash running the old two-man game, and so I need someone I need a rim roller, a guy that can put pressure in the on the middle of the defense to open it up for these three shooters I'm about to pick.
I guess, yeah, in terms of the way he would fit next to Luka, Suns Amari would be a lot better than Knicks Amari, because Knicks Amari put up better numbers in general, but he was playing a completely different role where he was a star of that team and he was pretty much the only guy until they got Carmelo, and so then obviously that didn't work. So yeah, I guess Phoenix Nash Amari would be a better pick to pair with Luka there. So not a bad pick. I was hoping you wouldn't take him because I would have loved to have Amari. He put up 25 a game in his 2011 season with the Knicks, 8 boards, 50% from the field, and he actually shot 44% from downtown in 2011 on 0.3 attempts per game. But still, that's something. It's a bit Dwight Powell-esque, if I do say so myself. And he is an all-star as well. So great pick there, Amari Stoudemire. We'll see how he fares against Tyson Chandler down low, though. But the pairing of him and Luka is going to be something to behold for sure. So great selection there. Now for my next pick, I got Dirk and Vince right now. So yeah, there's a lot of good options. The big men here certainly start to dwindle after Dirk and Amari. There's a few more guys who have had some good seasons, but your team doesn't really, your defensive team, I should say, doesn't have many great big men defenders anyways. So I'm not gonna focus too heavily on the big men on my side. So I'm gonna take a little bit of a I'll take some more guards here. Another guard, I'm gonna take actually one of my favorite players of all time, my favorite point guard in NBA history, actually. I'm going with 2010-2011 Deron Williams from his New Jersey Nets days. He put up 20 points per game, over 10 assists per game, 1.2 steals per game, and he was an all-star that year in 2011. So I'm going with my man D. Will for I mean, he's gonna run the show for us at point guard. He's proven to be able to get Dirk the ball, you know, when it's years in Dallas, even when he wasn't in his prime. So I think he's got a good shot to run this team.
Yeah, I had a feeling that you might pick him at some point or another. Yeah, you know, so many of these guys, you forget, like, you think about Deron Williams and his tenure with the Mavs wasn't necessarily anything special, but to talk about a guy that was literally one of the elite point guards in the NBA, you know, in his heyday, and
Yeah,
so
he was top two
good
and he
pick
wasn't
there.
two, in my opinion.
Well, that's an argument for another day, but nonetheless, that's a good pick. For my third pick, I think I'm gonna have to go with. Oh, I think I'm gonna have to go with Jett Terry.
Yep.
Play alongside Luka. Think I got to do it. He not only is he a floor spacer, he can shoot, but he can also kind of be a number two option as far as making plays off the bounce, maybe even coming off some ball screens. He's got a little bit more of that in him than say like a JJ Redick, who I was thinking about, or a Seth Curry. He can, you know, make stuff happen for himself. I think he'd be a good fit next to Luka, so I'm gonna go with Jett at the two guard.
Another guy I would have loved to have on my own team, but so which version of Jet are you taking here? Are you taking 06 Finals Jet, maybe 2011 Game 6 Championship Jet, maybe Sixth Man of the Year 2009 Jet? Which Jet are you thinking?
And I'm taking 2011 Jett, just that the championship pedigree there, the clutch shot making gene. 2011 might not have been his best statistical year of his career, as far as like points per game wise, but just that whole playoff run, that whole year, just making big shot after big shot. So that's the player I want on my team.
Okay. Well, obviously an incredible pick. We love Jason Terry on this podcast. I'm gonna go here with another guy who obviously didn't have his best year with the Mavericks. Another guy who had his best year decade or so prior to his tenure with the Mavs. But a guy who's, after he played with the Mavs, he's been very connected with them ever since, and for good reason. So I'm going with the 2003-2004 Peja Stojakovic here. 24.2 points per game this season, 6.3 boards. He shot 93% from the free throw line, 43% from downtown, and of course he was an all-star. So I'm taking big Peja here. Only 1 year with the Mavs, obviously, but he got a ring in that 1 year, so he's obviously become at least a little bit of a fan favorite here over the years in Dallas.
Yeah, hearing you read that stat off, it kind of makes me wish I would have picked him earlier. Just he'd be such a good fit with Luka. Luka could get him all sorts of open looks.
He had some really good
Yeah, that's a
years
good
in
pick. So,
Sacramento, yeah.
yeah, I mean, even his 2011 Mavs run, it was. I mean, what do you? How many threes did he hit in the closeout game against the Lakers? Was
Nine
it
out of ten.
9 or 10? Yeah,
Yep,
9 out of 10.
nine of ten. Jason
So,
Terry, 6 for 6. Quite the game. Mother's Day Massacre.
read me your roster. You have Dirk
Hey, I'm
and
going
Deron
to.
Williams.
Yep, D. Will at the one. And then I got
Yeah.
Jet, I mean, excuse me, you got Jet. I got D-Will at the one, Vince and Peja, you know, swapping in at the forward guard spots. And then so far, I got the big German down low. And then you have Luka Doncic, Amare holding it down low, and Jason Terry. So your next pick is up now.
I gotcha. Now, just to reemphasize that I'm not having to count on this team to play any sort of defense. This is strictly offensive purposes. That is correct, just to clarify.
No, you got Dorian, Sean Marion, Kid Gilchrist, and those guys for defense. These are all offense guys, yeah. We definitely just, decided that when you chose Kid Gilchrist for the defensive team.
Yeah, just making sure. So, with that in mind, I think at my we're going to go ahead and bump Jet down to the small forward just for technicality. But at my shooting guard, I am going to put JJ Redick at the two guard.
Wow.
I need as much spacing as possible, and for that, so I'm going to go 2015-2016 JJ Redick at the two guard. His second to last year with the Clippers before he went on to Philly. He averaged 16 points a game there, and he shot 48% from three on almost three made threes per game. That was probably peak JJ Redick as far as three-point shooting goes. Just imagining him running off screens, what he can do. Maybe Stoudemire sending him some off-ball screens, getting him some looks like that. And so I think him and Luka together is going to be a scary sight.
That is a good pick. And I like the year you went with, too, because that's not his highest scoring year by any means. But, yeah, 15-16, that's probably his best – well, I don't know if it's his best team year, because that one year with the Sixers, they did all right as well. But, yeah, 16.3 points per game, 47.5% from downtown is crazy. It's crazy. But he's known as one of the best shooters ever. 2018-19, when he was a Philly, he averaged 18 points per game, so a little bit higher. But I would have definitely taken the 15-16 version of Redick as well. I do want to ask you, though – being that you're a renowned podcaster yourself, did you choose him because you're such a fan of the JJ Redick podcast, or because you actually believe that he can help your team stretch the floor a little bit? Maybe both.
Actually both. I am quite the fan of the Old Man in the Three podcast. It's actually, I think it was, so it's one of two basketball podcasts that I do listen to. I also like Duncan Robinson, The Long Shot. Right. Both of them, and interestingly enough, the two of them are real good friends, and so, you know, they've been guests on each other's shows quite a bit. But yes, that was the first basketball podcast that I started listening to consistently, and so I have started to like him even more since he's been done playing basketball. But yes, also not to mention his 48% from three is certainly gonna help my offensive production.
Well, let's before we continue with this draft, we got a little bit of time since there's no real Mavs content to talk about. Let's peel back the curtain a little bit more. For me personally, the No Dunks podcast is really the main basketball podcast I listen to. EJ Skates, Taj Mahal, those guys, whatever their names are. That's a good one for me. But I want to ask you, I also am a big fan of the JJ Redick podcast because I think that he gets a lot of really good answers out of all of his guests, at least, or most of them at least. And they usually are more honest on there than they are in a lot of interviews they do. And that, you know, because they're talking to a real NBA player who's proven himself. Who's a nice guy, easy to talk to as well. And so I want to ask you, who's been your favorite guest that you've heard talk on there? Because I know he's had guys multiple times sometimes, and some of the guys he has really talk, you know, with no filter. So who's been your favorite guest or your favorite episode on that podcast so far, AD?
Yeah, you know, a couple come to mind. First of all, this one might be a little controversial. I don't know. Every time Chris Paul goes on the podcast, I always just really enjoy what he has to say. And I don't know what, if you like Chris Paul, what your take on him is or not. I just, he's been around so many teams, so many people in the league. He's just got all sorts of cool, like, stories about, you know, like training camp or first few days of practice. And, you know, what do I like to do when we travel to this city? Like, some of that inside NBA, you know, information that you wouldn't otherwise get, right? And so it's just kind of cool to hear two NBA players just talking about kind of what they do on road trips, in practice, game day shoot around, stuff like that. And just being a basketball player myself, that's just something that I really, really enjoy. And then another one of my favorite guests on the Long Shot pod, not the Long Shot, excuse me, the Old Man in the Three is Drew Holiday. He's been on there a couple times. And one of the things he said, again, like like you mentioned, some of these guys kind of take off a little bit of their filter when they're talking on these podcasts. But he mentioned, J.J. Redick was talking to him about defense and, you know, who in the league he has the most trouble guarding and stuff. And he was talking about that. And he went on to say that he can get away with a lot of, arm bar and hand check and, you know, grabbing someone's arm when they're trying to steal the ball. He said he can get away with that because he's such a good defender. Yeah. And refs expect that, you know, that since he's so good that he's probably clean. And he's not, you know, he's not hitting the offensive player's hands. And when in reality, he does foul a lot. And so just to hear him, you know, admit to that on a podcast. And again, yeah, like you said, just these guys are kind of talking. It's not interview style where they're talking to the media, where they're just saying the things they're supposed to say. They're getting a little bit more in depth to, some of the stuff that goes on in their NBA lives.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. We didn't talk about this at all before, but I was actually planning on giving the same answer about the Chris Paul episodes, because he really does love to pull back the curtain and talk just about the day-to-day life of an NBA player. You know, as you said, when they're traveling, their hotel situation, what they do after games, you know, whether they, you know, still like to go out and go have dinner, or, you know, the nightclub scene, or whether some guys just like to go back to their hotel and watch NBA TV all night, just watch whatever game's on in the hotel room. And then, you know, he talked about how, you know, it can be problematic trying to get enough sleep there, because it's hard to just go to a hotel room after a big game, just go to sleep and get up early for a flight the next day and be ready to practice, play, perform. And so, it's really cool the way that he talks about just the life of an NBA player. And so he's definitely been some of my favorites on that podcast as well. I liked the Blake Griffin episode because it's one thing when you're talking about, you know, living your life as an NBA player and talking about some of the things that the fans don't really get to hear about that side of life. But the other side of it on that podcast, there's a lot of talk about, you know, like inside the team and the organization and, you know, in the locker room, in practices, a lot of stories that you haven't heard before about, you know, what this certain team did around this time and, you know, why things might have fallen apart, you know, organization-wise, whether there were some chemistry issues. In the Blake Griffin episode, you know, they both were huge pieces of those Clippers teams in the mid-2010s. As you said, you just chose 2015-16 J.J. Redick for your team here. And that's around their peak as a team right there. And so they talked a lot about, you know, why things didn't work, what kind of fell apart with the organization, how they fought through all the controversy with Donald Sterling during the playoffs when that was going on. It was really cool to kind of get to understand a lot of the stuff that you never get to hear from those guys. And so I've never really listened to the Long Shot podcast with Duncan Robinson. Is that kind of the same thing as the Redick one, where he just kind of talks about stuff that you really don't get to hear on a normal basis?
Yeah, it really is a lot of the same stuff. And like I said, Redick and Robinson are good buddies, and so they kind of have a lot of the same mannerisms. One of the cool stories I remember from the Long Shot is Duncan was talking about his first stint in the league when he first got to the Heat. And it was one of his first games. He said he didn't shoot the ball well at all, and they lost a game. I can't remember where they were. He might have said they were playing the Knicks, and they were in New York. I really don't remember. And he had a buddy that was from New York that had hit him up after the game and said, like, hey, like, you want to go, grab a drink or do something after the game? And which is, after hearing all these podcasts, which is completely normal. Like, you right. know, all these NBA players, like, after games, like, it's not like you're in high school where it's like, all right, go back to the hotel. Don't leave, like, the, you know, you're on your own basically after the game. And
yeah,
Duncan was talking about how, you know, nervous he was just getting to the NBA, and so he was skeptical about going out. And anyway, his friend finally convinced him to sneak out or go grab something to eat or something out. And he said he was leaving the restaurant or the bar or wherever he was. He said he wasn't even drinking, but he was leaving the bar at, you know, midnight or so, and literally he walks out of the bar and he sees Spoelstra and the entire coaching staff right there. He said his heart just dropped in that moment, and he said Spoelstra kind of gave him a laugh and patted him on the back or something, and just, you know, didn't even acknowledge anything about him being out late or anything. And so that was the moment he kind of realized how, you know, relaxed the NBA was in that sense. And so, again, just super cool to hear all those stories about what these guys get into after games and stuff.
Yeah, it's got to be tough being a Heat player, especially being that young in South Beach. Your team's amazing, you know, you're playing well, and you're just in that environment every day. And so, yeah, especially for a young guy like that, not knowing what to do when everyone else is doing something, it's got to be quite an experience for someone like that. But I can only imagine that it's those kind of situations are just completely amplified when you're playing for a team like the Heat, when you're not only winning games, but you're in South Beach as well, you know? So, JJ Redick, I don't know if he ever, I guess the Clippers are in LA, you know? So he's got a little bit of the same environment, not quite like Miami, but then again, he's on the Clippers, you know, not the Lakers. So, his name doesn't, you know, carry as much weight as if it would have if he played for the Lakers. So, I think it's really interesting to hear all these crazy stories about what happens, you know, that you don't see on the court. You know, just out of curiosity, Adam, do you maybe have any? You're on a podcast right now. Do you have any stories yourself that would peel back the curtain a bit and show these the court, not only courtside Mavs fans, but the Southeastern Oklahoma State fans a little bit more about what you do when you're not playing?
You know, it's a little different here in small school Division II
You tell me
basketball.
Durant, Oklahoma is not the same as South Beach, Miami?
Not quite. It's close. It's close, but it's not. I can't quite put it on the same level yet. But the most thrill that we'll get on a road trip is when it's 10 o'clock and we're in the middle of nowhere, Arkansas. We got a game the next day, and me and a few of the teammates get hungry, so we go knock on the assistant coach's door, ask him if we can walk to the local gas station, grab a pack of Skittles and a Gatorade or something. So that's about as exciting as it gets for us on road trips. We don't have quite the freedom that some of these NBA guys have, but maybe if you give me some more time, maybe next time I can think of a little bit better story for the listeners.
Man, things get wild in Durant. I had no idea that stuff like that was going on. I hope you're not doing that on game days, because you know that can really affect your style of play there, AD. So hope you're being smart about that at least, right? You're not going too crazy on the Skittles packs.
Yeah, we like to keep the gas stations like less than a mile. If it's more than a mile walk, sometimes we it's a no-go. But you know, if it's less than a mile, it's nice and easy walk. Sometimes it's nice to get out and you know, walk around, make sure you know, stretch the legs even, you know, for we've just been sitting in the hotel room all day, and so
I can respect that. Yeah, that maybe even could be
yeah,
good for your play. You know, get the fluids
exactly.
going. Yeah, wake the legs back up. Okay, that makes sense. Well, I
Yep.
appreciate you pulling back the curtain for us, D. But we do have to keep going on this draft here, because we are almost done. We've got four out of our six guys here each, and we kind of just stopped there in the middle. So we might as well finish off our list here. I believe it's my pick right now. I have Dirk, Vince Carter, Deron Williams, and Peja Stojakovic. So for my final starter pick, I got to get another big man here, just so that I can completely dominate your team in the post. Because if Dirk's going to be double teamed, there's somebody else down there too that can put buckets in from the paint is that's going to be problems for JaVale McGee and the boys on your squad there. So for my final pick for the starters here, I'm going with 2005 2006 Elton Brand from his All-Star days at Philly. He put up 24.7 points per game that season, 10 boards per game, 2.5 blocks a game, 53% from the field, and of course he was an All-Star that year. So Elton Brand's gonna be my other big man there, someone that most people may not really think of when it comes to dominating on the offensive end, but you know, during his peak he was incredible. So yeah, that's my final big man for my starters. So you got your final starter pick now as well, AD.
Yeah, that's definitely a problem for my defensive lineup trying to combat Elton Brand and Dirk in the post. And
It's all about
so,
matchups.
yeah, it is all about matchups. So with that being said, at my technically power forward, if that's what you want to call him, at my power forward position, I am going to pick Seth Curry. Ultra, I'm going to go with my ultra small lineup. I'm going to go with, you know, I think I might as well just go with his last year in Philly,
Okay.
2020, 2021, just strictly because, again, that's his statistically his best 3-point percentage year. Shot 45% from the three. And so, and just looking at the matchups, that with that pick, that means that Tyson Chandler, your quote unquote four man, is either going to have to guard Jet Terry, Seth Curry, J.J. Redick. I mean, he's going to have to guard somebody. And so getting him out of his comfort zone, making him guard out on the perimeter, I think could cause some problems there. What do you think?
Man, you took it's all about matchups to a whole nother stratosphere with that pick right there,
Yeah.
AD. Holy
I
cow,
got
Seth Curry at the four.
Luka and Amari running the pick and roll with Jet, J.J. Redick, and Seth Curry spotted. I don't know what you're going to do with that.
Man, oh man, that is tough. tough. Yeah, because I took two huge centers who are great in the defensive paint with their presence down there, but they're not quite the most mobile guys on the league. So, whew, that could be tough. I could always just sub in Josh Richardson for one of those guys, you know, and see if just one of those big men can just hold their own against Amari, and hopefully you don't do too many pick and rolls where they get switched up in. But if you got Luka and Amari, there's going to be an ungodly amount of pick and rolls. So that may not be good for me as well. But oh my gosh, you got, so Jet's your small forward and Seth's your power forward. You realize Jet's 6'2", and I don't know what Seth is, probably 6'2" as well, right?
Yeah, I understand. Man. Offensive rebounding will not be a strong suit of our team, believe it or not.
I think your best offensive rebounder is far and away Luka, and that's saying something.
Yeah, well, I mean, if we're making 60-70% of our shots, is there really a need for offensive rebounding?
Yeah, and your team actually might, because Luka does find guys, and it'll be a little different than when Luka's finding, you know, Courtney Lee in the corner compared to when he's finding Seth Curry and Jason Terry, right? So I think that Luka might have a little bit higher of an assist percentage with your squad here than he does now. It'll be nice.
We going with the sixth man now? Is that?
Yep, we both get one last pick for our sixth man, so we can sub this guy in as we see fit for these matchup issues that you're creating here for my team. So, my two big men are Dirk and Elton Brand. I got Vince Carter, D. Will, and Peja Stojakovic. Now, my final pick here, I can kind of go wherever I want because I do have a pretty solid all-around team. I got a good point guard. I kind of have all the positions here if you want to throw Dirk or Elton at the center. So I'm just going to go with the best talent available on the offensive end, a guy who was snubbed far too many times from being an all-star, so he never was, but he certainly was had the potential to be. I think he might have the highest points per game in a season average without ever being selected as an all-star. So for my pick here, I'm going to go with not a Mavs season, which I could have picked from one of his Mavs seasons, but I'm going 2009-2010 Golden State Warriors Monte Ellis here with this pick for my sixth man. 25.5 points per game, and he wasn't an all-star. And that's along with 5.3 assists per game and 2.2 steals. So the Mississippi Missile, Monte Ellis here for my six-man pick. Throw him in there for, you know, for any of these guys, and he's going to be offense on his own. You know, and a lot of these guys on my team are team-oriented offensive guys, and Monte's kind of a guy who can just kind of go out there and do it by himself. And, you know, if he needs a pick, Dirk's got him. That's proven to work as well. So I'm going Monte here for the six-man.
I like that pick a lot. You know, you're reading off your description, and you said that you're taking you mentioned his Golden State Warriors tenure, and I was afraid you're going to take my pick here, which is going to be I need a little bit of low post presence, you know, just in case Amari gets tired, or in case I get tired of my 4-6-2 and under lineup. But I am going to pick David Lee as my sixth man coming off the bench. And actually, now that I think about it, I think I want to go with the Knicks' David Lee. I think he was statistically a little bit better. He was definitely like a 20-10 guy with the Knicks. And yeah, she shot 55% from the field, averaged 20-10 his last year with the Knicks. And so I think having him as a guy who you can throw the ball to with his back to the basket, he can go make a play. Also put him in the pick and roll as well. So it just gives us a little bit more of a threat in the paint, so it's not just three-point shooting for the entire game.
Yeah, man, I actually, before I was doing this, I didn't know that he was an all-star with the Knicks and the Warriors one year, and that's pretty impressive for him there, once in 2009 with the Knicks and then 2012 with the Warriors. But if you're taking Knicks, David Lee, that's 20 points per game, almost 12 boards per game, almost 4 assists per game as well, so it's a pretty solid pick there. I didn't love his time with the Mavericks. I thought he was actually pretty atrocious while he was here. He made some nice little lefty flip shots here and there, but he just kind of made me angry during his time here as a Maverick because he did so little on offense. I mean, so little on defense, and then wasn't the most efficient on offense either. So I wasn't a huge David Lee guy during his tenure. What was it, 2015-16 season? He only played 25 games for us, but 8.5 points per game. He wasn't great here in Dallas, say the least, but he was certainly good in New York. So that's a pretty good pick, and you certainly needed some more size there as well. So that's it. That's your final pick. That's my final pick. We have our offensive teams here. We have our defensive teams. Now it's time to put them in action. So, I mean, I think we both got some pretty solid teams on both ends here. But there's really no way to know whose team is the better overall team until we, I don't know, throw them in a 2K simulation or something. What do you think?
I think that's the only way.
I mean, we can talk about it a little bit. Matchup-wise, I say we're going to have another podcast eventually where we go through the matchups and we'll bring another guest or so on and see what they think about the matchup, because obviously we're a little bit biased, but we'll put them into a test simulation here and see how they do, and then we'll bring somebody else on, get an unbiased opinion on who they think's going to win depending on, you know, who's guarding who's getting subbed for who, you know, situational type stuff. We'll have a full podcast for it, so don't you worry about that. Of course, I'm Mavs fans. We'll get that for you real soon. But just to recap the teams, I had the first pick, so I took the big German Dirk Nowitzki for the first pick. Then I took Vince Carter during his 2001 Raptor season, Deron Williams for his 2011 All-Star season with the Nets, Peja Stojakovic, 04 Kings season. I'm taking Elton Brand for my final starter pick during his All-Star season in Philly. And then my sixth man is 25-point-per-game Golden State Monte Ellis. And for you, AD, you got the Don for your first pick, Luka Doncic. You don't have to pick a season for that. He's just – he hasn't had his best season yet, so, you know – We'll take that as it is. Amari Stoudemire for your next pick. Wonderful choice there. Jason Terry, and then as well as J.J. Redick and Seth Curry. So a well-constructed team for sure. It seems that with this, you took David Lee for your sixth man as well, but it seems for this I kind of went with the bigger names, the bigger number guys, and you kind of went for the whole, you know, you want a team to fit your system. So I like your choosing here for what you went with. It'll be interesting to see if my super team is going to be – it's going to be a little bit tougher to beat, or if your actual fluid offense is going to be more effective. What do you think?
If I'm hitting the three ball, my money's on my squad, but you know, shots aren't falling, we could be in serious trouble. I'll say that.
I got Peja and Vince, so it's not like I'm going to be missing too many threes either, but you certainly have more shooters than me and a little bit more accurate as well. So those are our teams. We'll have them face off very soon for you guys. All-time Mavs offensive draft is now complete. All-time Mavs defensive draft is also complete. And so things are moving forward here. And so there you go. There's your non-Mavs content during this All-Star break. But there was some NBA content during the break as well. So after this break, we're going to talk about the All-Star Saturday night, a little bit about the All-Star game, talk about why, you know, this wasn't the best All-Star weekend of all time, and then a quick preview of the upcoming Mavs game after the break. So we'll be right back right after this. And we're back on the Courtside Mavs podcast. Murphy Beckham alongside Adam Dworsky here. We just went over our Mavericks all-time post-2009 offense draft here. So now we're going to get into a little bit of the 2022 NBA All-Star Weekend that we previewed for you guys in the last podcast. Some of our predictions hit, some of them certainly didn't. And so the first contest that occurred was the NBA Taco Bell Skills Challenge. And what do you know? One of our predictions actually hit on this one, which I would hope it would, because there was three teams and we took two of them. So, but unfortunately, it was not my pick. My pick lost to your pick in the final round there. Team Cavs edged the rookie trio to win the 2022 Taco Bell Skills Challenge. Not the most exciting events. It never is. They tried to make it a little more interesting this year, switched it up, made it a team event, did some different things there. You previewed it a lot in the last podcast, so... It wasn't the most exciting, but your team did win, so props to Evan Mobley, Jared Allen, and Darius Garland for pulling that off. But I assume you don't have much to add to this one, because there really wasn't much to talk about here.
Yeah, no, I'll just say there's never a doubt. You know, I knew they were gonna win.
You seem to know.
Much else to say about that one.
Okay, well then we'll move on from the skills challenge to what seems to be everyone's favorite event these days, the three-point shootout. And that was at least pretty entertaining. You know, we saw some guys get hot, saw some guys knock down some threes. I'm not a big fan of the dew ball, the long shot there. That kind of messes up some guys' rhythm, but that's neither here nor there. But Karl Anthony Towns did win the three-point shootout. He had 29 points in the final round, and which was technically a record for the final round. You know, I hate using the word record for this contest because it changes so much. You know, Larry Bird physically couldn't have gotten these numbers because there was no Moneyball rack. And then the Moneyball rack appeared, and now there's all these dew shots that are worth more, the Mountain Dew shots from 30 feet. So the chance to score is increasing almost every year, so the record really doesn't mean that much. 31 is the record right now that Steph holds, and Towns at 29 to win the shootout on Saturday. And him winning really wasn't the big part of that event that caught people's eye. It was what the TNT broadcast was proclaiming when he was winning, and especially an individual by the name of Dwayne Wade, who for some reason was all over the broadcast on All-Star Weekend, and it was painful to watch. I don't know how much you caught of All-Star Saturday night and the Sunday night game, but for the Sunday night game, I did not watch a second of the TNT stream. I watched a TBS stream with Barkley, Ernie Johnson, Kenny Smith, and Shaq, because I could not stand listening to D. Wade and Reggie Miller talk any sort of hoops, because they proved to me on Saturday they don't know hoops, and they haven't watched hoops past about 2012. When Karl-Anthony Towns was knocking down threes, when he was catching fire, getting hot, winning the event, D. Wade was proclaiming, shouting, in fact, "That's the greatest big man shooter of all time! That's the greatest big man shooter of all time!" And, I mean, what? This guy's an NBA legend. I hate to say it, but he is, and he knows the league and the guys that have played in the league. It blows my mind that this crazy narrative that Karl-Anthony Towns threw out a while ago just to get people's heads turned. And I understand why Towns would do it, because it's himself and he wants to promote himself. And, you know, the more you can promote yourself, the better chance you have of getting noticed and getting, you know, whatever. So I get why Towns would say something outlandish like that. But the fact that Dwayne Wade was just acting like it was a true fact during the All-Star three-point shootout, to millions of fans worldwide watching, that's what made me angry. I don't know about you, AD, but that got on my nerves a little bit.
Yeah, of all the contestants, Karl-Anthony Towns is certainly the one that I did not want to see win the competition.
I would have much rather had Trae Young win it than him.
Yeah, and that's saying something because of the whole Luka and, yep, and Trae Young discussion, but yeah, that's the D Wade saying those things and Karl-Anthony Towns and all that stuff happened. And then Karl-Anthony Towns just butts in and disrupts the conversation between Luka and Michael Jordan. And so just
got worse and worse.
Yeah, it just got worse and worse.
D Wade's been disrespecting Dirk his whole career, ever since the 06 finals. And obviously the fake call from the 2011 finals, the "I think I'm sick," whatever. He's been disrespecting Dirk for a long time, but this took it to a whole new level. And then what was said after that takes that to a whole new level as well, because after he won it, not only was it just D. Wade, but I forget who the play-by-play guy was for this event, but Reggie Miller was also on the call, and they were just spewing nonsense back and forth about this. After he won, they talked about, I think Towns and Kevin Love now are the only big men that have ever won this event. Crazy, craziness. Kevin Love won in 2012. Sure, he's the most recent big man to win it, but he is not the only big. Dirk won the event in 2006. I mean, they can't go back six more years in the history books to know the greatest big man shooter of all time won it. That part made me angry as well, but that's not even the crazy part. The crazy part is apparently they just don't know anything about the NBA, D. Wade and Reggie Miller, because Kevin Love, sure, he's a big man that won it, but if you're considering him a big man that won it, he's only 6'8". And there have been other guys outside of Dirk, 6'8" or taller, that have also won the event that I guess D. Wade and Reggie just didn't think about, or, you know, didn't take the time to research, because, you know, they're so big time. They don't have to worry about, you know, actually spitting facts on the broadcast for millions of people. They just kind of talk about it, whatever they want. Kevin Love, 6'8". Jason Capono won it multiple times. He's 6'8". Peja Stojakovic won it. He's 6'10". And of course, the three-time champion, the one who kind of started the event in the first place, Larry Bird, is 6'9". And then obviously, the big German Dirk Nowitzki, 7 feet. So it just kind of blew my mind how little that those two know about basketball, and the fact that they were allowed to sit there on TNT and talk about the history of the game.
Yeah, here's another thing, an interesting thing that I saw on Twitter after the event. It was Timberwolves fans, right, talking about Karl-Anthony Towns and how good of a, you know, how he's the best big man shooter of all time. And I saw a Mavs fan clapped back and brought up Dirk's stats against the Timberwolves in 2002 playoff series. Are you aware of what these stats are, Murph?
I know that it was over 30 points per game, so that should be enough right there.
Let me just ask you if these sound like best big man shooter of all time stats.
Yeah, so let's hear them.
Over four games, right? It's three-game sweep, excuse me. 33.5 points, 15.7 rebounds. Listen to these splits. He shot 52% from the field, He shot 73% from the 3-point line.
Huh.
73
You
over
think that
three
that
games.
might matter in terms of shooting, right?
Yeah, shooting, 3-pointers, I don't know. Well, maybe free throws matter more than threes, I don't know. 88.9% from the free throw line for the series. So I thought that was kind of an interesting little, oh, you're a Timberwolves fan, you think Karl Anthony Towns is the best big man shooter of all time, here's this. And so, yeah, just nonsense all the way around.
Complete and utter nonsense. I'm glad you brought those facts out there from when Dirk absolutely dominated KG, because it seems like it's a never-ending cycle of Timberwolves fans thinking that their big man is better than Dirk, no matter if Dirk's playing or not, because the argument was always Kevin Garnett or Dirk, who's better, who's had the better career. That went on for multiple decades. Now they're both gone, so I guess they try to think of something else, and they have no one to compare to Luka, so they gotta just compare Karl Anthony Towns' 3-point shooting percentage numbers to his one season to, what Dirk did for his entire career, even later on. So it seems that they don't have much else to do over there in Minnesota, and so they kind of just have to latch on to the success of the Mavs and compare and contrast with those situations. So, I guess we can give the benefit of the doubt to Minnesota. I guess they didn't really have much over there for basketball, so we can let them argue all they want, because there's really not much of an argument to be made here. So, I'm just going to say Dirk Nowitzki is the greatest big man shooter of all time. Leave it at that. All right. So the final contest on Saturday night was the AT&T dunk contest, in which Obi Toppin of the New York Knicks won. And this was an event that caught a lot of people's eye for the wrong reason. Another poor performance for the dunk contest. As we talked about before the event happened, a lot of guys that we didn't even know, we knew who they were, but they weren't big names, and the casual NBA fan won't know who any of these guys are. And so they better put on a crazy performance if they're gonna all be out there together. And they didn't. There was a complete embarrassment. Jalen Green missed about 12 dunks in a row after walking out there with an NFT chain. He was horrible. And then, it's bad when this is the NBA.com headline for the post dunk contest. NBA.com wrote this. They said Toppin won on a final dunk that incidentally ended with him converting on a layup, which is true. He tried to do that off the backboard dunk that kind of just floated in as a layup after that. And then Toscano Anderson finished with a cumulative score of 69 in the third round and 30 on his second dunk after failing to convert three times on a dunk attempt. And if that's the headline for your headline event for your All-Star weekend, you're going to have some negative feedback for sure. And there's tons of negative feedback after this event. I did not find it very entertaining at all. Seems that everyone's trying to, find another spark to light the dunk contest after 2016, when Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon took it to a whole nother level. Since then, it's been a bit of a bust. There's been a few good years in between. Aaron Gordon came back and had some more good dunks a couple of years later, but there's just been nothing like that again. And this was a complete dud. So, a really horrible dunk contest. Luckily, that wasn't the last thing that happened the weekend. We did have the All-Star game on Sunday, and that was at least a little bit more exciting, because on this podcast, on our last episode, me and Adam chose our two All-Star Game potential MVPs. Adam chose Steph Curry, I chose Joel Embiid, and those two guys really were fighting it out the entire game for the MVP. It really was just one of those two guys. Whoever's team won was going to win the award. But as the game progressed, yeah, your guy AD definitely stepped up more than Embiid. Put up 50 points by the end of the game, one away from a record. So an insane performance from Steph. What do you have, 16 threes or something?
Yeah, at the 15 for, yeah, 16 for 27, I think. It was
Yeah,
just kind of
that's.
funny the way we were texting back and forth during the game every time Embiid would go on a little run. And then I think at one point, when Steph finally went on his big run there in the third quarter, you texted me and said, yep, that'll do it. And so, yeah, that was good MVP predicting by both of us. Because, yeah, I think if Team Durant would have won, I think Embiid would have been the obvious choice. And so, props to us for that.
I think it's also funny that these were the guys that we chose to win league MVP further back in the season as well, and they're still performing at such a high level, putting on shows for us and all the fans. So it was a lot of fun watching that back and forth. And then, yeah, texting you the whole time when one guy would get hot, and we'd say, oh, there goes Embiid, and then Steph would knock down four threes in a row, turn around while he's doing it, and say, well, nope, there goes all that. And so it was a lot of fun watching that game, a lot more fun than on Saturday. And then another note from that game, our man Luka Doncic did what he usually does in an All-Star game, just kind of lollygagged around. But he did put up 8 points by the end of it, 3 of 6 from the field, 4 or 2 of 4 from downtown. So a classic Luka All-Star performance. Did you see anything special out of Luka in that game, AD?
Well, it was good to see him come in and hit a couple threes. They had him mic'd up, I think. And I think was his first three from the corner, or was the second one? I can't remember. Yeah, his first one. He's running back down the floor talking about how he's a corner specialist. And so, not a shot that he gets typically within the course of a game with the Mavs, but you know, it was funny to hear some of the things he had to say. He's such a just a goofy guy in general, and so, you know, obviously the All-Star game type of atmosphere, he's going to be saying some funny things, and so it was kind of cool just to see him messing around with Jokic a lot and talking to DeRozan about his mid-range shooting, and so it was a cool little cool listen.
Did you happen to see the clip of him him talking to DeRozan? How do you feel about that clip there? If that's him trying to recruit, I saw this law on Twitter, that's his recruiting skills right there. If that's the best he can do, we may be in a lot of trouble, because at least Dirk knew how to talk to these guys, and he still couldn't get them. So imagine if that's Luka trying to recruit, we could be dealing with a lot of rosters with Tim Hardaway Jr. and Maxi Kleber in the future.
Yeah, he was trying to hype him up a little bit. What he said, did you ever miss a mid-range in your life? So he's giving him his credit for sure.
He was giving him credit, but it didn't seem like the most smooth interaction between two buddies.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. You know, obviously Luka probably knew he was mic'd up, and so he didn't want to say anything that would, you know, get him in trouble for tampering or anything like that. And so, you know, maybe he waited till they were in the locker room after the game, and then that's when he gave his real spiel.
Yeah, you think once they took the mic pack off, that's when Luka was talking about terms of the contract for whatever year he's ready to be a free agent.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, it's certainly possible. You know, we don't get to hear any of that, so I'm sure that some of that might have gone down, but you know, Luka was talking to Draymond a lot, and obviously Jokic a lot smoother than that. So maybe Jokic could be the guy that comes to Dallas in a few years. What is it, 2023? Is that, I believe that's when his contract is up, and he should be able to possibly be moved here. So we know that they're very close friends. If any of the guys that Luka's tight with, you know, either Jokic or Hernan Gomez's or Bogdanovic, I'd certainly rather have Jokic here out of all those guys. So hopefully, fingers crossed that Luka can continue to recruit for us, and at least know that he can do a pretty good job with his guys like Jokic. So we'll see how the future progresses for the Mavs recruiting skills. But it wasn't a great sign from what we saw on those clips that were posted on Twitter and Instagram from the Mavs. So that's kind of all we have for you guys in this podcast today, recapping all of All-Star Weekend and that draft for you. The next Mavs game is going to be tomorrow night at 8 p.m. at Utah for the first game back after the break. There are finally some games today, some NBA games. No Mavs games, of course, but NBA games finally return tonight, Thursday night. And then tomorrow is going to be the first Mavs game back, and we're going to be playing Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, and the Utah Jazz. So, and that Jazz team, as we've talked about, has had a little bit of internal chemistry issues as of late. Since all those guys came back from injury, they haven't been as good as they would have expected to be. There's been apparently some turmoil between Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. Once again, they're two superstars. So we'll see how all that pans out as the season progresses, and we'll see what happens tomorrow night as the Mavs take on the Utah Jazz. So the Mavericks really could use a win here, as they're very close to Utah in the standings. I'm not sure. I think they're, what is it, a game and a half back, maybe 2 games back at this point in the season. Mavericks are 35-24, and the Jazz are 36-22. Yeah, so the Mavericks are a game and a half back from them. A win here would pretty much put the Mavericks in position to pass them with one more victory. So this would be a huge game for the Mavs tonight. Adam, what are you looking for the Mavs to pull off this win, gain a little bit of ground on Utah here in the standings?
Yeah, you know, this is a big game, obviously, because we're right on Utah's heels, and also it's just a big stretch, right? I think our next 10 games, we have the Jazz, the Warriors, Celtics, Nets. We've certainly got quite a few tough teams. I think the Lakers are maybe in there.
Yeah, Warriors twice,
Warriors twice, yeah. So, it's going to be a tough stretch, and it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a stretch where we can either, you know, win 7 or 8 and really make a climb up the standings, or we can, we can lose, you know, 6 or 7 of those games and fall down and start getting closer to the Timberwolves and the Clippers and start getting closer to the play-in scenario. And so, big stretch for the Mavs coming out of All-Star break. Hopefully our guys benefited from the rest, get back healthy and get things rolling.
Well, a very big stretch, as you said, coming up for the Mavs here and the Jazz, because tonight, a huge game for the standings. See if the Mavs can gain a little bit of ground. And then on Sunday, the Mavs are taking on the Warriors, but the Jazz are taking on the Suns. So the two best teams in the West are taking on the two teams that are vying for position here in the playoffs. So that if the Mavericks can pull this game off tomorrow, then both of the next games on Sunday could be huge in terms of the Mavericks actually being in position to have home court advantage for the playoffs. And that's something that obviously hasn't happened since the 2011 championship season. So we'll see how this all plays out tomorrow and Sunday. We're super excited about it. Hopefully you guys can catch some of the game and catch the next podcast where we recap it all. So thank you guys so much for listening to this podcast of Courtside Mavs today. If you have any questions, you can find us on Twitter at @Courtside_Mavs. You can email us at courtsidemavs@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you guys. If you guys have some time, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you happen to be listening to this podcast. But for Adam Dworsky, I'm Murphy Beckham. And as always, let's go Mavs.